Well, today seems like a good day for a story. It's kind of a challenging story that I have for you today. Challenging for me as well as for you. Kind of challenging to tell because it's a personal story. It's very sacred and holy. And I know I have to tell it because I was told I had to tell it. And perhaps we can call this story the prodigal pastor. Or like the story of the prodigal son, it might have a better title of the loving friends. And parts of the story may sound a little familiar to you. Once upon a time, because don't all good stories start once upon a time? Yeah. Once upon a time, there were two pastors, a husband and a wife. They received a call to serve a congregation together. And after much prayer and conversation, they discerned that God was calling them to accept this new position and serve this new church. And they felt very fortunate and blessed because this new church was just over an hour away so that they could commute while they were trying to sell their house. Well, the good news is that right away, all kinds of people were coming to look at their home. Soon, an offer came in and everybody was excited. A new school teacher coming into the area was looking to buy a house. That is, until after the first week of school, when she rescinded the offer because she decided she wasn't quite sure how long she wanted to stay in that area or how much job security she had. So she felt like renting was a better option. But not to fear, not too long after that, another offer came in. This time, a couple who was planning to retire to the area. The offer progressed nicely until they too rescinded their offer because they decided they needed to work for another year or two before they could retire. In the meantime, with the kids in school at home, the two pastors drove back and forth at least an hour each way with their dogs, keeping their home show ready at all times so that they could sell their house as soon as possible. Well, not to fear, another offer came soon, but that too fell through. And then another offer came. And guess what happened to that one? It fell through. And then another offer came. And guess what happened to that one? It too fell through. And then there was another offer where two sisters were going to buy the house together. They're each selling a house. And on the day that the first house was supposed to close, they had a big fight. And they decided they probably shouldn't live together. So, 10 months and 6 offers later, a new offer came. And this one felt different. There was something hopeful about this one. Others even commented on, this feels different. Again, things progressed nicely, and the house was supposed to close towards the end of April. Now, the two pastors couldn't buy a house until their house sold. Till it was all final, so they made arrangements with a friend of theirs who owned a duplex that they would move into this two-bedroom duplex as a temporary place. He was a self-proclaimed slumlord, and it was probably pretty accurate to describe the duplex, but it was a place to be, could keep the kids in school, and that was good. So on the Friday, before their house was to close, a moving party was coming from church. Pastors and their family packed up most all their stuff, and everyone was scheduled to arrive at 6 o'clock. At 4:30, the phone rang. It was their realtor. He said, I need to talk to you right away. I'm coming up to your house now. And they knew by the tone in his voice that it was not good news that he had to share. And it wasn't. Even though the buyers were pre-approved, their loan didn't come through. They'd missed a very small payment on a very small credit card balance, and that took their score below what the bank standard was. They were going to need at least 3 more months to fix it. And the process had already taken about 2 months longer than normal. Well, the next day was pretty quiet around those pastors' home, in part because everything was packed up, but Also because no one even knew what to say at that point. And it gave one of the pastors a little bit too much time to think. Waiting 3 months took them looking for a house right at the beginning of school. What were they going to do? Where were the kids going to start school? How's this all going to work? And she started to feel discouraged. It was about 9:30 on a Saturday night when she went upstairs to where her husband was now unpacking many of the clothes that he had just packed because they thought they were moving. And she laid down in the bed, pulled the covers over her head, and said, "I give up. I just give up. I give up. I give up." Now, knowing his wife to be someone who doesn't usually give up too easily, he might say stubborn, but she'd like to say persistent. He sat down and he listened. She said, "We've been working so hard to make this all work with selling the house, commuting, moving, packing, working at church, trying to be there for our kids, and obviously, it's really not working very well at all, is it?" She said, "I feel tired, really tired, tired of just trying so hard." She didn't feel like a very good mom or, don't tell her church, a very good pastor. She didn't like feeling that way, and she didn't think that was how God wanted her to feel, or that God thought that that was the best thing for their children or for their church. She wondered, had they been listening to God? Was this just what they wanted to do? Was this God's will? You know, they prayed really hard about taking this call. And they decided to take this call so that one of them didn't have to commute. And now they both were. With all of the failed sales, it made her question and feel a little bit guilty because she knew that really this was a rich person's problem in a lot of ways. Well, her husband was gracious and said, "Would you like to just stay home from church tomorrow?" He was preaching and said, "You could just stay home and relax." But she knew that she needed to be at church because she had to believe. I mean, don't we have to believe until something is obviously blatant coming our way? She had to believe that God had called her to serve there. She didn't know exactly what it meant to give up other than she did. And she knew she needed to be at church, her church. That in the midst of everything, she needed to be with the body of Christ. Next day at church was a good day, like all church days are good days. A good sermon, good songs, good people, good conversation. It was good. After worship, this pastor was walking through to lock up the church, and she headed into the education wing and just started to check her email on her phone. She saw an email from some friends who had committed to pray for her and her family during this time of transition. And these are the words she read. "Dear Eric and Beth, during the sermon this morning, my mind wandered to you folks." And no, they don't go here. "On the way home from church, we talked. Your church needs you there, and your children need you to be with them. We jointly and wholeheartedly extend to you the following offer, effective immediately. Given a 30-day notice, we will provide money for you to buy a house in Lacey." The email then spelled out the terms of the loan, which were like any mortgage with payments and interest, but gracious. And with the important reminder, they said, not even knowing what had gone on the evening before, they said, "Do not be discouraged. Things will work out for you and form the basis of many a sermon." future advice for your children, and for the two of you to laugh about when the dust settles. We are fully and completely behind the support of getting you and your family into a house that will fit your needs as a family and for your church ministry needs as well. The struggle is over. And in capital letters, call your realtor, exclamation point, find a house as soon as possible, and keep us informed. After falling to my knees in the junior high Sunday school class, crying my eyes out, I called these friends, and I thanked them. And they laughed. They laughed, saying, "You know, this is an absolute joy for us to be able to do this. We only wished we had thought of it sooner." And I said, "Well, so do I." But they said they felt blessed that they could do this. And that even though they care about Eric and I very much, it really wasn't about us at all. It was about ministry. About supporting and enabling Christ's ministry to happen in and through the church. And these friends are the ones who helped us to get into the home we now enjoy. Now, the challenge. You might hear this story and think, "Man, I wish I had friends like that." And maybe this is easy for me to say because I do have friends like that. But I think this story is a challenge to us. It's a challenge to me, and I offer that to you as well. It's a challenge for us to be a friend like this. To be this kind of friend. To be generous. To listen to how God is encouraging you and nudging you to use who you are and what you have for ministry in Christ's name. Now, most of us can't do what our friends did for us. Some of us can. Most of us can't. But we are all still able to do something. Something with our time. Something with our abilities. Something with our money. We're all able to do something. To support and to enable Christ's ministry to happen in and through the church. To be the body of Christ in this world. Bringing hope and breathing new life into places of profound discouragement. We never know how the smallest act of generosity might have a huge impact on somebody's life. Because we know that any act done in Christ's name is huge. 1 Timothy reminds us, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, generosity. Do good. Be rich in good works, generous, and ready to share. Thus, storing up for yourselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that you may take hold of the life that is really life. Like Bethesda today, each one of us has been marked with this cross of Christ. In this gift of water, our lives are given to God. We are drowned to our old selves and reborn as children of God, called to be the light of the world, to let that light shine, shining in those dark places, to love and serve God as we love and serve our neighbors, to live as the body of Christ in this world. It's not always easy. It's not always clear, and sometimes we just plain old give up. But we are all called to use who we are and what we have. for ministry in Christ's name, to reach out with that generous love of God. This is what life with Christ is all about. Being intentional with what we do, with who we are, and what we have. This is the life. That is truly life. Life in Christ's name. A generous life. A gracious life. A loving life. How is God calling you, calling us to live it? Amen.